91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. We're at your service today with our South Florida gardening experts. If you've gardened before in northern climes, some modifications are needed to get good results in the subtropics. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman, Joseph Cooper on vacation. We'll visit with Dr. John Pipoli, a Broward County Urban Horticulture Extension agent, as well as Terry Goldsmith, president of the Florida Master Gardeners of Broward County. With the arrival of hurricane season and summer around the corner, it's a good time to consider our trees, how they'll stand up in a storm, and the best principles for tree selection in our region. We'll also have advice on how to fertilize, grow organically, fight pests, and use native plants in landscaping. Of course, your calls are welcome. Topical Currents after the news. It's 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper is on vacation. Today, we're at your service with our expert gardeners. And it's always enjoyable and an informative program. However, it feels a little frivolous in light of the unspeakable tragedy in Orlando right now. So we are all affected. We feel a profound sense of loss and bereavement. Our hearts and prayers go out to all the victims, their families, their loved ones, the LGBT community, and the community at large. Joining us now is the president of the Florida Master Gardeners of Broward County, Terry Goldsmith. Welcome to you.
Welcome to you as well.
Also, of course, the Encyclopedia of South Florida Horticulture, Dr. John Pipoli. He's a Broward County-based Urban Horticulture and Natural Resources Extension Agent, University of Florida, part of Parks and Recreation. Welcome back to you, Dr. Pipoli.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
It's our pleasure. Do you hear an echo?
I do. There's something wrong with that microphone. We'll have to check it in just a moment.
Okay. All right. But it's still coming across. All right. You may want to take down our number for your gardening questions. It's 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Our email is radio@WLRN.org, radio@WLRN.org. Well, summer is almost here, although you'd think it was already here. It feels like
it. Isn't it the truth?
The vengeance, yes. Our focus today is largely on the best shrubs and perimeter plantings and ideal tree selection, along with successful summer vegetable gardening tips. But I thought we'd best begin briefly with two other issues. I'd like to know about odd weather patterns and how that's affecting our plants and veggies right now.
Well, I just was speaking this morning with the people that do research on tropical fruit. And for example, it was no surprise to any of the mango researchers that we had colossal flower loss, therefore fruit loss, in a lot of the mango cultivars this year. We didn't have our cold period. Our cold period wasn't acute enough to stimulate the flowering on time. And subsequently, because of the change in weather pattern, the flies that are the real pollinators of mango did not arrive on time. Uh-huh. Bees come and visit the flowers and steal a little pollen, but they're not the real pollinators.
What about the really rainy December that
we had
though?
Two rains.
It was like ridiculous. It was almost like the seasons were reversed.
Right. Yeah,
I must have lost 300 mangoes.
Yeah, there are two cultivars that were completely wiped out by a big rain that came over a two-day period. It was really bad.
So it is definitely affecting.
Oh, yeah.
It'll affect
extremes
the mango
in climate
crop.
Are... Bad news.
Bad news.
Yes.
All right. My second question is about trimming our trees or whatever else we need to trim for hurricane season. Terry, do you want to start on that?
Yeah, sure. To John's point earlier when we were talking, earlier the better. June is usually the best time to do it, maybe even May. But I see all around my neighborhood now everyone's trimming away because they're trying to – well, it's been 10 years. So the numbers are – the statistics are – you never know. But definitely make sure that when you do hire a tree trimmer, and you should really hire a professional, you shouldn't get out the chainsaw and do it, try to do anything like that yourself. Make sure you get a certified arborist. And if you're having a hard time finding one where you live, the Master Gardeners of Broward County can help you find a certified arborist. So you can email us at Master Gardener. I'm sorry, Master Gardener at Broward.org, and or call us, and we will be able to help point you in the right direction on where to get somebody who can reliably trim your tree. More is not always better. They need to know where to place the cuts, and they need to know how to make the tree safe in strong winds. Hat racking a tree, for example, which is cutting off the whole top of it, really doesn't solve the problem, and of course it has a lot of bad effects on the tree's health. So make sure you get a certified arborist, and if you can't find one, we'll help you.
Yeah, and secondly, look carefully on the trees that you have in your yard. Make sure that any groups of fruits on it, that is with the exception of tropical fruit that you're going to harvest, things like mahogany trees, things like coconut palms. Yeah,
right.
Get all of those projectiles off the trees. It's just not worth taking a chance. If you lose a coconut or two because you took them off too early, that's a lot better than having them blow through the neighbor's window. You know, it's just not smart.
Yeah. Anything else on tree trimming? We've had to do a little maneuvering here.
Yeah. No.
I think we got it covered.
Yeah, okay. I think those are the main points.
Okay, so now getting on to other things, I have a burning question. Okay, I go online and it says, this is absolutely the best way to take care of orchids. And then I go online and it says, this is absolutely forbidden to take care of orchids. What is putting 3 or 4 ice cubes in an orchid? Right or wrong?
John, cubes?
There's a pecking order to websites.
Okay.
The first are the land-grant universities. For example, IFAS, that's the Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, .ufl, University of Florida, .edu. So all of those extension services, Clemson, Texas A&M, Georgia, they're very reliable. Everything they have is research-based. The second best websites are .gov, because the Department of the Interior or Smithsonian or USDA is not going to put stuff on unless it's right.
Okay, but I have to stop you there because a lot of times South Florida has nothing to do with these research papers.
That's true.
I have learned this. You know what I find? I find a lot of the websites from educational organizations or institutions in Hong Kong and in Australia, certain parts of Australia, are more closely resemble our weather patterns and our tropical zone than a lot of these other. Well, like I say, I come from Chicago. So when I go to a university, just because it's a university doesn't mean they know what's going on in South Florida. That's why the University of Florida is really the best place.
It's the best place. And if they don't have it there, then I always go to Texas A&M.
That's a good one, too. Okay. Yeah,
because they're like the largest extension outfit in the country.
All right. So the answer to the question?
About the ice cubes?
No idea.
I never heard that in my life.
I think that's very much akin to rubbing a potato on your wart and throwing it over your left shoulder at midnight. One of those deals.
And turning around 3 times and reciting
the
alphabet.
Or drinking water with a spoon in your mouth.
Yes,
hiccups. I'm going to give our number again. It's 1-800-743-9576. If you have a gardening question, all things gardening, 1-800-743-9576. Email radio@wlrn.org. And Peter, you'll be reading them if they come through. Okay. So let's talk about the best shrubs and perimeter plantings. Those would be hedges, screens, border plants. What are the best and what makes them the best? Dr. John.
Well, the best plants for those purposes are the ones that grow the slowest, because the slower they grow, the stronger the wood. So they're the most resistant to storms. Second of all, we really recommend that on any border you're going to put in, that you have some alternating pattern of either 2 or 3 different species.
Why?
Because then you don't, for whatever pest that may want to bother one species,
it may not do another.
Well, no, you don't have a sink there.
because you'll actually attract, like if you have all one species, if there's any pest for that species, it'll be attracted to your yard.
Think about ficus and the whitefly.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about that. I see so much ficus.
For example, what happens, what your whole shrub, your whole hedge is gone because of one pest when you could have mixed it up with some Florida-friendly natives that will, well, if you do get nailed with one plant, at least you've got 70% of your shrub line is still good.
Okay.
There is one house in Fort Lauderdale where they are Ohio State. Very dedicated people, so they have
he loves telling
crimson
story.
Crimson bougainvillea, very well trimmed, and silver buttonwood. And the front of the house has that hedge, and the house has crimson downspouts and, you know, silver the other side. On the other side, it's the other way around. He drives a Lincoln that's silver with a cranberry interior. And the wife has a matching one that's the opposite.
John, we're going to have to come up with the University of Miami one.
That's what we
that's
need.
That's right. Let me. Can we just go back to ficus for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you see so many ficus hedges.
Right.
Don't ficus have root problems in going
into the
ground?
Yeah, they get into things they shouldn't.
Yeah.
They go everywhere. Yeah.
So why are they so popular here?
Well, they were so popular. They're hard to get out. Because of those root systems, once you're stuck with the ficus, I see all in my own neighborhood people trying to keep them alive. But once they've been devastated by that whitefly, they really never do come back. But taking them out is expensive and difficult.
Because of the roots,
the root system makes
it,
you have to almost pull it out with a backhoe or something.
Yeah, it's not easy at all.
Okay, so what are the best plants to plant? You say the ones that are the strongest. What are the worst plants for South Florida?
Worst is probably easier, and ficus is one of those.
Yes, absolutely. Worst. Ficus is horrible.
You know, and we're going to mention a bunch of plants here today, but we also have posted on broward.org/parks. You will find a link to this show, and the things that we're talking about today, the lists of the plants, you can print it and refer to it.
Yes, and they're arranged by height. So we have everything from things that grow 10 to 15 feet tall. Normally, people keep them at that height, all the way down to a half a foot.
Okay.
And those are called border plantings. So some of the really good larger plants, white indigo berry is from 8 to 10 feet tall, and it's fantastic. Gallberry is also that way, and it's normally from scrub habitat, so it's very drought resistant. Varnish leaf is an unheralded plant that can be used in all kinds of ways. Wild coffee, black torch, a thing from the Keys. Just think, if this plant can survive on coral rock, how will it do in your yard? It'll do beautifully. It's a set it and forget it plant.
Wow.
Very nice.
You know, and if you look at our posting on the broward.org/parks of this list that we're referring
it's
to,
huge.
It'll tell you all different kinds, moderate growth, how high they'll get, whether they produce berries or flowers. I, for example, naturescaped my property last year, and I put in a lot of stoppers. And the stopper plants are Florida-friendly. They're
what
moderate.
Are stopper plants?
Well, it's a Eugenia family.
It's a Eugenia. There's some other genera, too, but they're white stopper, red stopper.
And they produce flowers and berries for the wildlife. So they're really nice. And they grow at different stages, and their leaves are different shapes. And so it makes a nice mixed culture that creates a great hedge.
Absolutely.
I also noticed it also gives salt tolerance.
Right.
I mean, you
if
have
you're on the
everything.
Ocean.
Right, exactly.
It's different than what would be in inland.
Exactly. We're at your service gardening today with Terry Goldsmith, president of the Florida Master Gardeners of Broward County, and Dr. John Pipoli. He is the Urban Horticulture Agent, Broward County Parks and Recreation Department. We have lots of calls. Be patient. We're going to get to you after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Monday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman visiting with Master Gardener Terry Goldsmith and Dr. John Pipoli, Urban Horticulture Agent for Broward County Parks and Recreation Division. And we have lots of calls, lots more to talk about with these hedges, but let's take a few calls right now. We're going to go to Ginny in the Redland. Hi, Ginny.
Hi.
Welcome.
This
Hi.
This may seem like a silly question, but I'm calling to ask about how do you deal with keeping the squirrels off your lychees and your mangoes. You know, I had talked to you before when you were on, and we talked about how we didn't get lychees for a couple of years. Well, this year we've got them, but the squirrels are just...
You know what? I have found, this is going to sound silly, but it really is, well, the most effective thing in my yard to keep them off of the mangoes and the starfruit, and that is a squirrel feeder.
That's what I told my husband. Go out and get some peanuts.
Feed the squirrels and they'll leave you alone. And then I have a friend who puts plastic containers with the produce in them at the grocery store. She covers up her mangoes with those. But I think if you're having a successful lychee crop, you probably don't have enough containers to do that with.
Exactly.
There is one little thing. Are they getting to that tree from another tree or from the ground?
Other trees. I got tons of trees.
Oh, other trees. Yeah. Okay, different
other
story.
Other trees then. And the ground. Both.
Can she cut them early, John? Will they ripen off the tree?
Yeah, I told my husband, can I just take them off early? They're already reddish or pinkish, but they're not all the way red or whatever.
Maybe you can probably take them off less than a week early, but more than that, and they won't develop enough. So you have to be...
Like mangoes.
Yeah, you kind of have to... You know, gauge it.
It's a timing
well.
Thing. I went out every morning to look at those mangoes.
Yeah. You know,
the squirrels have already been through. They pick through them.
Yeah, right.
And they taste them and they decide, and they go to the next one.
Right. Now, since you're in the Redlands, Miami-Dade County is the only county in the state that has an exclusive tropical fruit extension agent, my counterpart, Jeff Wasluski, who's in the Miami-Dade Extension Office, and his whole life is tropical fruit. So
and
for
he's out there off of 288th Street in Redland.
Yes, ma'am. He is the best.
He may have some tricks for you that we haven't thought of.
He will have some tricks that are based on about 20 years of experience.
I like the idea of
feeding
the
squirrels. My husband's about to lose his mind. No, I told him, get out there and get him to give him some peanuts because I used to feed the birds peanuts and they would eat them all. The squirrels would eat that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jenny, good
they
luck.
They got too much fruit. They're like, I don't want the peanuts now.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And we go to John in Miami. Hi, John. Welcome. John, you're here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, welcome.
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to ask what are the treatments or the remedies for dollarweed spreading all throughout your lawn, taking over your St. Augustine grass?
Two easy ones. Very, very easy. No chemicals, no nothing. Step number one, raise the lawnmower deck to 5 inches. The reason why you have dollar weed is because you cut your lawn too low and you water it too much. So raise it to 5 inches and cut the water and you will be just fine. It's going to take you, since we're entering the wet season, I would say
it'll take a little while.
September to October is when you're going to really notice that they're gone, but you're going to have to keep it at 5 inches at least. I mean, you don't want to. It's going to be hard. I think the highest you can go on the most lawnmowers around here is 5 inches.
And you keep out other weeds doing that, too.
Yeah, you shade everything out. You remember that?
Yeah, it's great.
That St. Augustine grass grows at a 45-degree angle outwards. So the shorter you cut it, the more space there is between each plant for weed seeds to land and germinate. And if you have the lawn too short, they just go bonkers. So those are two steps, and they're done. No chemicals needed.
Okay, John?
That's great. Yes, great. You guys do a great job there. You responded to my emails before, and you're just a wonderful service to the community.
Thank you so very much
for the compliment.
Thank you, John. Okay. We agree. All the best. Peter, you have an email there?
Yes, I do. And pardon the sound of this microphone if it's a little balky, which is why we moved you, Bonnie. So the question here, a couple of questions from we'll ask the questions. Most of the avocados fell off my tree and wondering why. It's about 4 years old and 15 feet tall, and I fertilize regularly. Folks?
John, you're the avocado expert.
Well, not a complete avocado expert, but we have two things going on. The first thing might be that you either way overwatered it or way underwatered it when it was first developing the fruits, because both of those can cause that.
So does that mean these weather patterns might have contributed?
Might have contributed, yes.
A lot of rain in December and then nothing for a while?
Yeah. Then the other thing is I want you to look at the tree very carefully at the top, and if the top leaves coming out are dying, then you might have this dreaded laurel wilt disease that's going around. And that will cause a tree to lose all its fruits like overnight once it gets to a certain point, because what happens is the ambrosia beetle bores into it A fungus gets into the xylem, which is what transports the water to the top, clogs it all up. There's no more water for the plant, and it's adios.
So can they do anything?
I don't think the laurel wilt, can they?
If it's laurel wilt, they're done. But if it's not laurel wilt, if it's this other thing going on, the next year when you get your crop, don't use a complete fertilizer. Just use a little potash, because the only thing that avocados really sort of run out of a lot is potassium.
Okay.
I mean, it needs the other things too, but to a much lesser extent.
Okay, and Peter, they had a second question.
Second question was, what is the easiest and best way to get rid of aphids from milkweed?
I can tell you on that one, because my backyard right now is a monarch butterfly playground. I have milkweeds all over the place, and the aphids, there's two things I do, neem oil and mechanical method, meaning you just pick them off, literally. But if you spray them with neem oil, that will work. And sometimes you can just spray them with water. And that works. So if you're worried about the butterflies, for example, if you have caterpillars on that milkweed right now, use a gentle spray of water. I mean, that's what they can handle it. They can handle it when they're out in the rain. And most of the time, you'll get rid of the problem.
Okay, very good. Let's go to Thomas in Miami. Welcome, Thomas. You're on Topical Currents.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a row of palm trees in my backyard. And just in the back corner, they've been rotting out almost from the inside out. And I'm not sure. They have little black spots. I don't know much about gardening and trees. But do you know why this is happening? And I've noticed it in some of my wild bamboo, too, that's growing back there. That just kind of turns brown and then rots out.
Well, the bamboo would have a different thing from the palms. Do you have any spots in the palm where you have like black sap leaching out and dribbling down the stem?
Not really.
No?
No.
I think the best thing to do is going to be to take a close-up of what's going on with the leaves and take a picture of the whole palm and then email it to mastergardener@broward.org, because we're going to have to go through. There's a number of internal fungi. One I think is called something like Thevelioopsis or something, and it basically causes rot at the apex, rot all over the plant. It can be in the petiole of the plant. There's also a thing called fusarium blight, and we really have to see it. So I'd like you to do three things. Take a picture, take a leaf off, take a picture. Cut the leaf in the middle and show us what it looks like in the middle of the rachis of the leaf, and then take a picture of the entire palm. With those three pieces of information, any one of the master gardeners will be able to solve your problem.
And we need a close-up, too, of that bamboo stalk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because sometimes we can tell from the colors on the bamboo what's going on with that another fungal problem.
Right.
Okay, John.
Thank you very much.
Thomas, rather. Thank you very much. And for all of you, the advice that we just gave Thomas to take a picture and send it to mastergardener@broward.org, that is a really good bet. And if we don't get to you today for some reason or another, whatever, if you just take a picture, they'll help you out. Let's go to Jimmy in Royal Poinciana?
Hey,
or West Palm Beach.
There you go. I was going to say, where am I?
I was thinking, that's not a town. That's a tree.
Okay, go ahead. I thought it might be a hooker.
Okay, Jimmy, go ahead.
I have a question, and it could be just a silly question, but as you're driving around South Florida this time of year, you see these beautiful Royal Poincianas. They're kind of blooming right now.
Right.
And they're beautiful orange. And I've had a Royal Poinciana in my yard for, I'd say, 10 to 15 years. I don't know the exact amount, but it's a pretty good-sized tree, good trunk on it. And only one year, I got this little shooting out of an orange blossom, and that's it. How do I get it to do that beautiful orange? Is there a special fertilizer? Is there anything I could do? Because I see a lot of them that bloom beautifully orange. They look like in the middle of nowhere where nobody even fertilizes them. So that's my question.
The whole point, that Royal Poinciana needs almost nothing from you unless it doesn't have the right growing conditions. Like, is it in full sun?
Yes. Huh.
Well, I don't think it could harm to use Lesco fertilizer, right?
Use Lesco, which is 8 to 12 plus 4. What normally happens is people put too much turf fertilizer down, and the overabundance of nitrogen creates a potassium deficiency, and there's no way it'll flower.
We like to think of it as too much love for yes. those things in your garden. So that, you know, because the royal poinciana is best left alone. But if
exactly.
you want to try fertilizer, we always promote the Lesco with special. I think it's called Lesco Palm Special.
8-2-12 plus 4.
Well, but they call it, you know, Lesco Palm Special. A Lesco brand was developed by the University of Florida, and you can find it at John Deere Landscapes. I know that's where I buy it.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I could try it because I don't put any fertilizer on my lawn. I live out in the acreage, and
oh, okay.
I have just wild, you know, I got Bahia grass, and I just, it's pretty as much natural as it could be. So, I don't know. I just would like it to get those beautiful orange flowers. It would look nice.
Well, if you want to send some pictures or some close-ups, maybe we can take a look at it and identify it, either a picture of the entire environment so we can see where it stands, and then maybe a close-up or two of a leaf or something, or maybe where it's not blooming. Maybe we can draw some conclusions from that. Happy to take a look.
Could be too much water around.
Maybe.
Too much water around. Yeah, because, see, every time you make a tree go vegetative, when the buds are deciding whether they're going to be flowers or leaves or shoots, they're always going to go vegetative if there's too many resources, like too many nutrients, too much water. They'll always go that way instead of flowers. Flowers is almost like they're in a panic to reproduce before they die. So if you don't panic your plant, there's no hope of getting flowers.
There's truth in that.
Okay, Jimmy, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're speaking with the president of the Florida Master Gardeners of Broward County, Terry Goldsmith, and Dr. John Pipoli, the third, is the horticulture agent for Broward County Parks and Recreation Division. A short break on today's topical currents. Be patient. We will get to you. 1-800-743-9576. Radio at WLRN.org. Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. We're at your service with gardening tips with Dr. John Pipoli. He's the urban horticulture agent for the Broward County Parks and Recreation Division, along with the president of the Florida Master Gardeners of Broward County, Terry Goldsmith. Our number again, 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio at WLRN.org. And we're going to get to your calls in just a second. I want to ask you, are there any plants or hedges or shrubs that are beneficial to repel mosquitoes?
Citronella, right?
Citronella. Yeah, you would. I don't know I've ever seen citronella for sale. Citronella comes from, I'm going to say the name of the genus very slowly in case anybody wants to look to see if they can find it. The first part of the word is dendro, as in tree, D-E-N-D-R-O. And then the rest of the word is bangia, B-A-N-G-I-A. And it is in the Icacinaceae family, which has no common name. It's Western Amazon Basin. That's where citronella comes from.
But if you go to the store, it's called citronella.
It's called citronella tree. That's right.
For Pete's sake.
But always remember to check the name so you're not buying something bogus. Because sometimes, you know, they'll say, oh, it isn't really, but it looks like it might not be.
You know what else works? Eucalyptus works.
Eucalyptus is very good.
Yeah.
Anything that has a volatile oil really helps a lot. Nothing is ever going to bother Gumbo Limbo or Pittosporum either, because they produce a chemical identical to turpentine.
Okay, so if you have these in your garden, in your yard, will it just about,
it won't eradicate.
It won't eradicate.
It helps.
But it'll help.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And you can get citronella candles. I've used those for you, especially if you're having an event.
Yeah. Right.
And they also make these little bags you can buy now where you can put some water in it, leave them outside, and for 8 to 10 hours, it makes them effective for keeping mosquitoes at bay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to Wanda in Miami. We'll get back to the phones. Wanda, welcome. You're on Topical Currents.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've had problems with white flies on my coleuses. I've bought these red coleuses, oh my goodness, over and over again, and they get me every time. I looked up neem oil for white flies. I've mixed it with, 50-50 water to neem oil. I mean, is that too much? I don't know. But and I've also bought the, before I did that, I bought the neem mix from Bayer from the Home Depot. And it actually kills the plant. I'm concerned about that. The other question is, are there any perennials or flowers that I can plant around these plants that would repel the white flies?
I don't know of any flowers you can plant around. Are they in full sun?
Yes, but they do beautifully in the sun. It doesn't seem to be the sun. You know, when you look close, you can see all the little white fly, like, real caked up on the you know, on the bottom of the leaves and the little, you know, the little eggs from the white flies. It's definitely the white flies. It's not the sun.
Maybe we should see a picture of that too, because I've got coleus in my backyard and I don't have any white flies and I don't do anything to it, and I'm trying to figure out why you would have them on that plant. That's
the
first I've
heard
of that. Master Gardener at Broward.org.
Yeah.
Send
us some pictures. No, MasterGardener@Broward.org.
Okay. And the last question is, I searched online for different perennial plants that can really take the sun, and I found some very beautiful ones that are native to the western area, like California, you know, those areas. Very beautiful, vibrant in color. Can they and will they survive here?
Too much humidity. They're going to end up with all sorts of fungal problems. That's the problem, because we're in a warm, humid tropics. What you should do is, there are several books written on native plants of the Keys.
Hmm.
They're really resilient. They're resistant to salt. I mean, they have some fantastic colors. You know, brown, fuzzy brown stems, chocolate brown stems, and dark green leaves, and beautiful yellow flowers. And some are little small plants, and they have little trees.
You know what else, though, John? There are some plants that I have found at the garden center that are marked as annuals. Pentas, for example. My pentas reseed. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they're nice.
And they go all until they get really woody. It takes a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay,
tropical
Wanda.
Sage, red flowers.
Okay, Wanda, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to Melissa in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I have a question about basil. I've tried to plant it and grow it, and it lasts for a few months. But even though, like, I'm cutting it, it's not getting bushy, and then it dies. And I keep on trying, and it just makes me so sad that it doesn't work. My mom is, like, she can, like, throw a seed, and it grows, and for me, it's completely different. So.
John, we talked about this, I think, last time we were here. Isn't there a fungus that's around it that they're even stopping them from growing them in the agricultural?
Yeah, there is. There's a problem with, the big problem with basil. And
it's not you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not you.
There's a fungus among us.
Fungus among us, exactly.
So what I would do is grow them, be happy, throw it in your recipe, eat it, and then start again.
Start another, exactly.
I mean, that's, you know, they're never going to be like a rosemary that's an actual little shrub.
Right.
So that's what you just have to do sometimes.
Okay, Melissa, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Okay, let's go to Sherry in Fort Lauderdale. Sherry?
Hi, this is Sherry. I'm a senior advisor to the South Florida Wildlife Center in Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to mention, I certainly understand the desire by people to trim their trees and ready their properties for the potentiality of a hurricane. But I would ask people to consider the danger to wildlife who are nesting and caring for their young at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, South Florida's baby wildlife season generally runs from late February all the way through at least the end of October. And I know that arborists might suggest tree trimming at certain times of the year, that it's not in the best interest of wildlife. But if people consider the impact to wild creatures and find ways to do what they need to do to keep their home safe without disturbing the nests of birds or even mammals who use trees and bushes and other places.
You know what, Sherry? I love your wildlife center, and we are both master naturalists. In fact, John Pipoli trains the master naturalist, the Florida master naturalist of Broward County. We're very painfully aware of what you're talking about, and it's one of the reasons why when we promote tree trimming
through our extension office. For example, the palms aren't 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock, instead of that, you know, tassel top thing that most people do. And most of my neighbors now, when they trim their palms, for example, we've got everybody going at 9 and 3 o'clock, and those bats and all the other nests, we try
to keep
all that going.
Could you explain what that means, going at 9 and 3 o'clock?
9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. If you put your arms straight out on the sides, that's with the 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock position on your watch. That's how high up your palm tree should go, and no elite fronds, and no higher.
Okay. All right. Okay, Sherry.
Great work you're doing.
And so you just watch what you're doing and don't disturb anything that has nesting going on or
naturally,
whatever.
Naturally, sure.
What we're trying to do is to make sure that people don't wait till a hurricane watch has been issued to go out and cut their limbs.
Right.
Because when I lived in Miami and Country Walk, that's what everybody did. And what happened in Wilma was every single mahogany fruit went through every window of all the houses.
Okay.
It was a mess.
Important. Okay, thank you, Sherry, very much for calling.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Okay. And Peter, you have an email there?
Yeah. How about a generic question here? The question is, what to look for in a gardener?
Oh, hey, easy. If you have some major work to do in your garden, there is nothing better than a member of a society, and the commercials of the society that has to do with people that do landscapes, if they really care about learning and keeping up to date, is the Florida Nursery Growers Landscape Association, FNGLA. You can Google that, and they have a list of members.
Great idea.
And they get CEUs, they get certification, they list. So those are people that go to the trouble to keep themselves absolutely current.
FNGLA.com?
I don't know exactly what the website is.
Okay.
I would just look that up. And then the other one is FFL.IFAS.UFL.EDU. It's Florida Friendly Landscaping. There's a list of green industries best management practice certified people across the state.
Perfect.
So you can put in Broward County.
Right.
And I think there's like 250 or 300 of them now. And if they're there and they're in the other place, you'll know that they've gone the extra length to train themselves on all the current stuff, and you can trust them.
Perfect.
So to speak.
Okay, one more emailer before our break.
Sure. So let's see here. Any help for yellow grasshoppers? They have devastated my canna lilies.
You know, I found that the best way to do that is prevention, because once they go from the little black babies to the giant lubber size, what they say, rapid vertical compression is the only way to you know, eliminate them. They wear armor, for goodness sakes. So you need to find out if they're coming out of your calla lily. You have to be proactive at this time of the year in May or June before they become lubbers and you have to run around the yard with a hammer.
Oh, no.
No, they're gigantic.
Oh, my God.
This is 6 to 8
it's like
inches
locusts.
Long. I mean, this is...
It's like watching the plague of the locusts.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, it's a biblical plague. I've seen them completely destroy a whole planting next to the extension office
of
the lilies.
They must
crinum.
Do something good, no?
Oh, no.
They have no redeeming qualities, okay. Unfortunately, yeah. In this landscape, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, the poor... Yellow
poor
grass
creatures.
Huh? Yeah. Okay. We're speaking about gardening with Dr. John Pipoli from Broward County Parks and Recreation Division and president of Florida Master Gardeners of Broward County, Terry Goldsmith. Our last break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman resuming our After Service gardening program with Terry Goldsmith, the president of Florida Master Gardeners of Broward County, and Dr. John Pipoli, the urban horticulture agent for Broward County Parks and Recreation Division. Again, we're going to try to get to as many of your calls and emails as possible. Should we not get to you, though, please, you can email mastergardener@broward.org with questions and with photos of the problem you're having. You can also go to Broward.org/parks and learn all about the hedges and shrubs and perimeter plants that we didn't get to discuss yet, but they're there. And you can also call you can call at 954-357-5121. That's 954-357-5121. Okay, Ricardo, you waited a long time. You got disconnected, and now you're back with your iguana problem in Sunrise. Hey, Ricardo.
Thank you very much. So I have backed up on a canal And you have these iguanas that live along the hedging of the canal and in the canal. And I planted some yams, and apparently they really love that stuff.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And, yeah, and no matter what I spray neem on it, it looked like I just was salad dressing on it. They eat it more. is there any way I can, like, keep them out of my yard? Or, you know, somebody told me something about Epsom salt. I don't know how true that is, but...
The only thing I know is that if you use grow bags instead of putting things in the ground, then okay. you can cover the top with some cayenne pepper, because you're not going to eat that part anyway, and they're right. less likely to chew on it. But you know, other than that, it's a huge problem, and it's just not easy. Make sure you don't have any hibiscus around.
Can you use a pepper spray?
I do have hibiscus.
Oh, get rid of them. Hibiscus is when the males get the nectar of hibiscus on their face. It's like wearing high karate in the 60s. All the females go wild. The ugliest iguana is irresistible.
Oh, that's too bad, though, because hibiscus are so beautiful.
I know. It's true.
But, you know, we've looked at this, and it's like the easiest thing to do is pull them out, and they'll go to the yard with the hibiscus.
What about Calusia, John?
Give your hibiscus to...
To a neighbor.
Someone you like.
To a good friend.
The hibiscus that I have is a really rare type. It's like, it's like a multi-layered, and it's a peach color. I've never seen it before. I just recently purchased this house last year, and I've never seen it before, and I really hate to get rid of them, so I'm going to have to...
Well, you can put them in a pot and put them on your porch or something, and put a screen over them, you know?
Yeah. Because
they love them, man. They really do. It's like you're a Gordon Ramsay for those guys, you know?
Okay, Ricardo.
I got one more quick question.
Go ahead. Make it quick.
It's about hay bed gardening. How you got any recommendations? Do you know about that, or any recommendations about that?
About what?
About what?
Hay bed gardening. Yes.
I've read about that, and a lot of it has to do with the kind of hay that you use. But I've only used hay really for discouraging weeds in my alleyway. I haven't used them for much else.
I think that's more in areas where they have four seasons, and it's an overwintering kind of a thing. You never want to have anything green down as mulch or around plants, because that'll. As it breaks down, it'll absorb the nitrogen. It'll actually take it away from the soil, and your plants will suffer.
Okay, Ricardo, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and good luck. We're going to go to Miriam in Miami Shores, who has a grasshopper remedy what did you say to kill him with?
The hammer.
The hammer. Okay, hopefully this is without a hammer. Miriam, welcome.
Yes. Hi. I actually found a way to do it chemical-free, too. You actually get a 5-gallon bucket or something like that, and with water and just dish soap, so you make suds in it, and you just trap them or pick them off, or, you know, and they just kind of drown in there or can't get out because it's slippery, I'm not sure, and they drown, but...
See, now you're our kind of girl. You're our kind of girl, because see, you're willing to touch these things. Most people that talk to me say, I can't even bear to go near them. And by the time they're the size of a toy car, you know?
Oh, our kids think they're fabulous. They go after them.
Tell them to rev them up like those old cars. Woom, woom on the pavement. Oh,
golly, when they're little, it's not so bad.
Right.
When they're big, they're a little freaky. But that's the best thing I found that like eliminates the growth factor.
So you scoop them up when they're still black? When there's still little black bugs. Okay.
When they're little and when they're big, too, I find that it works.
It's probably just more entertaining. Well, never mind.
Okay. All right, Miriam. Thanks for the
remedy. Have a great one. Sure.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Okay. And let's go to Ivan in Miami. Oh, no. We're on with Kay in Pompano Beach about bromeliads. Yes, they do bring mosquitoes. Go ahead, Kay.
Hi, John. This is Kay from Pompano Beach. I met you at the Plants and People Day.
Oh, yes, yes.
You were our speaker, and you did a great job, and
I want to thank you.
But I have a lot of bromeliads all around the base of my house that I really love. They've been there for years and years, and Every now and then I see a little thing in the paper about removing bromeliads. I really don't plan on removing any of them at all.
You know what, Kay? My backyard is naturescaped and loaded with beautiful bromeliads, and if I have a large one with it holds a lot of water, I just break off those little donuts that you can buy for the mosquitoes, and I just take a little bitty piece and just drop it in, and it has not had any adverse effect on my bromeliads.
Really? Because we did a mosquito program where they did say that the bromeliads are very bad.
Well, there's because it's the sitting water. It's idle water. It's not being moved around. So you have
to do something. That if it rains 2 days later, the most of those bromeliads are dry.
Yeah.
They dry out.
That's been my findings too.
They're two common sense things. One, you can take a little horticultural oil and just drop a droplet in.
I suppose
in them.
That works too.
That really helps. There's no mosquito larvae that can take that. So that helps a lot.
Okay.
And the other thing is, when you know it's too damp out and it's early evening and we have this situation going, then don't sit out in the yard without a shirt.
Exactly,
you know?
Of course.
Just,
yeah, that's right. And the other thing is, the best thing that I use for mosquitoes is Skin So Soft, Avon Skin So Soft. It's an old remedy, and it really works. It's fantastic.
Also, Kay, our producer's writing, Richard's writing, that Lowe's sells a plant-safe mosquito repellent for bromeliads.
Oh, really?
Okay.
All right, good.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye
now. Okay, thanks very much. Peter, we have an emailer?
Yes, Leo writes that he has a lentisia, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, a mango tree that's about 4 years old, grows prodigiously, looks very healthy, but the fruit that it's produced in the last 3 years has been mushy, has dropped before ripening. He said this year the tree flowered beautifully, but the fruit keeps dropping, and we are down to a few green mangoes left on the tree. What is going on?
Mushy fruit is usually you have a problem with some fruit flies and things related to that. Where did he say it was from?
Doesn't specify location.
Uh-huh. I would take a picture of what those fruits are doing and go to Miami-Dade Extension webpage and look for Jeff Wasluski, because he'd be able to handle that kind of a thing, because we worked for years with Richard Campbell and mangoes.
Well, you can always send us a picture, too, and we can take
a
look.
Right.
Okay. And we're going to quickly... Oh, okay. Now we're going to Ivan in Miami. Very quickly, Ivan, because we're just about out of time.
Yeah, quick comment. For the lady that called regarding mosquito repelling plants earlier, I had really good success with lemongrass.
Hmm.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
I like lemongrass, too.
Yeah, the only thing with lemongrass is you got to control it because it's very invasive. But if you control it in little patches, it should be good. Yeah.
I haven't had a problem with invasive. And it's great for cooking. I guess it's another show.
Yeah.
Make tea out of it. And I grow it at the base of my fruit trees, and it repels fruit flies as well. And
great suggestion.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I was actually the woman that called up with the asking for the mosquito repellent plant. Okay, thank you, Ivan, very much. And we're going to Paula very quickly. Paula in Dania.
I'll try and be quick. I live in a condo. It's 5 stories high. We have palm trees in the front. I think they're Washingtonians. The raccoons climb up in the middle of the night and make it onto the lobby roof and the catwalks. Is there some deterrent to go around the base of the palm tree? I know they jump high because I'm on their side.
Okay, go ahead.
There's
Paula.
One easy thing. You can get sheet metal and make like a 4-foot. Thing of sheet metal, and you wrap it around the tree like
collar.
A sleeve,
and there's
nothing they can grab onto, so they will slip down and they
and
won't
I
get up your tree.
I should paint that gray, probably.
Don't paint it.
Don't paint it.
No, the brighter the better.
And it won't look all that gray, right?
What's better?
I don't know.
See, the reflection scares them to begin with, so it's a good thing.
Okay, Paul, and good luck.
Thanks.
All right, again, with the emailers we didn't get to, we will forward your emails to mastergardener@broward.org. You too can email mastergardener@broward.org. Go to broward.org/parks for information about hedges, perimeter planting, shrubs, and all those things we never really got to. And yes,
there's one little teeny thing everyone should know, that as of Wednesday, Broward County has 40 new Master Gardener volunteers.
Ah,
so now we will have 270 strong in 27 cities, ready to help everyone.
Wow, that is great. Well, we want to thank you. That's Dr. John Pipoli, the third urban horticulture agent, Broward County Parks and Recreation Division. Also, we've been visiting with Terry Goldsmith, the president of Florida Master Gardeners of Broward County.
The first.
Yes, and let me give you the number again. It's 954-357-5121. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That wraps up our program for today. We hope you gathered lots of information. Today's program was produced by lead producer Richard Ives, busy on the phones. Technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Don't forget free audio archives at our website, WLRN.org, and visit our Facebook page. Join us for tomorrow's program. We visit with pet detective Jamie Katz. She's a licensed private investigator who has had great success finding and uniting lost animals with their loved ones. Bonnie Berman for Joseph Cooper. Thank you also, Peter, with the emails and the phones. Stay tuned for Here and Now, Peter J. Meritz. Here and Now, up next from NPR News.